Well, it's wonderful to be here. I have known Carl for a good number of years, and Karen and Anna too. Being a minister, the ministers, we would meet together and pray together, and in youth work circles in a previous life, where I was the youth worker at Great Shelford Free Church before, and I know Steve from there. And oh my, Martin, I knew your face. And there I was involved and got to know Karen and Anna, who I did some Generate work with, using It's Your Move. So go back a long time. Oh, wait, a few other things about myself. I have a beautiful wife called Fiona. She wrote that bit. I'm in trouble now. we are successful parents because we've got two children. They've both left home. And we've changed the locks. No, we've got two beautiful children, Emma and Adam. Adam's in Birmingham. Emma's in Loughborough. And she has a husband, Chris, and a beautiful, beautiful baby, maybe 2-year-old now almost, called Esther, who is the most gorgeous, wonderful granddaughter in the world. It's official. She has been on Songs of Praise. I'm not telling you about that this morning, so you'll have to ask another time. So that's my family. I used to work many years ago in a previous life at Barclaycard. I used to be a computer programmer and do all sorts of stuff that you, with their credit cards. So when it all goes wrong, it's all my fault, okay? But I'm away from that now. I became a youth worker for 7 years and then became a minister, and right now I'm having a bit of a sabbatical at the moment, and shortly I'll be joining the chaplaincy team at the hospital. So I'm quite excited about that, sort of a new role, or an adjusted role, which will be exciting. So that's enough about me. You know all about me, but what do you know about Enoch? What do you know about Enoch? We've had the reading, and I'm going to challenge you now. What do you know right now about Enoch? He lived a long time, yes. Do you know how long? 365, yeah, that's right. 265 years. Anything else we know about him? He had a close relationship with God, yes, brilliant. He walked faithfully with God, yes. Yes, God took him away. God took him away. It says in the passage he was no more because God took him away. And it's really interesting, that passage. You look at the different characters and they say when they were born, they say how old they were when they had their first son, and then they say how long they lived, and then it says they died, all of them. But Enoch, it comes to the bit, you know, it says everything, and then it says, and he was taken away. He was taken to heaven. He was taken to God. Do you know anybody else that was taken to God? Elijah. Has anybody got a Bible with them? Anyone got 2 Kings 2? 11 and 12. Let's hear about Elijah. A bit of pressure there. 2 Kings 2, 11 and 12. Brilliant, thank you. How dramatic, how wonderful, you know, this chariot coming and being taken up to heaven. That must have been quite a sight. And Elisha was upset because of the separation. But how delighted he must have been for Elijah. But poor old Enoch, we don't know what happened. We've no idea. He was taken to God. And it says so later in Hebrews as well, that he was taken. So, I had a few other things I found. Adam was Enoch's great-great-great-great-grandfather. Noah was his great-grandson. He had a son called Methuselah when he was 65. He walked faithfully with God for 300 years. That's interesting, because he had a child at 65. So anybody in their 60s? It's still possible. It's quite frightening, actually, isn't it? And to be able to walk faithfully with God for 300 years. Wow. But I often wonder, well, what about those first 65 years? What went on then? Was he walking faithfully with God? I don't know. Maybe he had to discover something, find something. But the whole story of Enoch, which is very short and odd reading, but it's... there's no life stories. It doesn't say anything about his character. It doesn't say very much at all. And you think, oh, I wonder what he was like. But God took him away. That's key, a big thing, a massive thing, isn't it? To himself. God took him to himself. But why? Why not the others? And I think the clue is in, it's said twice in that passage that he walked faithfully with God. That's the most significant thing about Enoch. It's what we need to hear. He walked faithfully with God. So, Enoch, the Bible, introduces us. Let me introduce you to Enoch. And you could say, this is a good chap. You could say he works well in the fields or something. You could say he's married to, well, we don't even know what his wife's name was. You could have said, he was a great footballer. I've no idea what sports or what activities they used to do. They might have said he was great and he looked after other people. But no. Let me introduce you to Enoch. He walks faithfully with God. And this morning we're going to explore that concept of walking faithfully with God. Because we're actually designed to walk with God. If you think about Adam and Eve, they used to walk with God in the cool of the garden. How? That blows my mind. I love it. In the cool of a garden at the end of the day, to walk along with the Creator. With the Creator, God would walk with Adam and Eve. And you can read about it in Genesis 3:8. It was normal for them. But when they got it wrong, when sin entered, God was walking in the garden, and where were Adam and Eve? They were hiding from God. They separated themselves from God because they knew they'd done wrong. They couldn't walk with God. It pulled them away from him. The walk had become impossible. One other person that walked with God was Noah. He walked with God. You can in Genesis 6:9, he says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. And we know how God chose him, and he built the ark, and was saved, and his family, from the flood. And walking with God, it's not just a short stroll, it's just not a few steps with him. It's a life thing. Throughout their lives, Noah and Enoch walked faithfully with God. And okay, Noah got it wrong a bit later on in his life, but we'll gloss over that bit. It was a constant walk. It was a faithful walk from when he woke up to when he went back to sleep. And even when he was asleep, he was with God. When he ate, when he worked, when he was with his family and friends, when he was, I put at the gym, I don't know why, but they did. Wherever, because no part of our lives are hidden from God. So we're called to walk with God. And in Micah 6:8, I don't know if you can quote it to me, Micah 6:8? No. Brilliant. It says, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with your God is important. Not just to know about God, or to walk from afar, but to walk humbly with your God. Because walking with people is, if you're walking with somebody, there's something really special that goes on. And when you get walk in groups, you always have somebody who's walking ahead to show off that they're fitter than anybody else. You've got somebody who's distracted by the flowers and things who will lag behind. That's not walking with you. You've got somebody who will do the map reading and they're in the map the whole time and might be walking with you and that's all they're worried about. That's not walking with somebody. You might have somebody who's organising everything all the time. That's not walking with somebody. It's just walking together. There's something humble about walking together and just being together, taking time together, chatting, trying to understand one another. Important things in their life, unimportant things in their life, enjoying the journey. There's a special closeness that comes. And in Amos 3:3, it says, do not do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so. So when you're walking, you have to agree to do so. There's an agreement, a harmony. You're not walking different routes. You're not running ahead or lagging behind. You're adjusting your pace to keep together. There's a wonderful harmony. And there's a unity as well, because you've agreed where you're going. You're different, but you're doing the same thing. And there's this beautiful community about walking together. You're spending time, you're together, even if you're not speaking, there's something good about it. You can do that when you're walking with somebody, you cannot speak. And there's this kind of a communion that goes on together. A few weeks ago, I was... I've got to be careful how I say this. I was in Chartres at the Cathedral de Notre Dame, which was the most beautiful cathedral I've ever been to. It was different from this one. It was just remarkable. I love Ely. I love Chartres. But it was just amazing. I took my mother there because it's one of the things she wanted to do and nobody would take her. And I just went and I was astonished. This beautiful building, and they had a beautiful Sonne Lumière. But then the next day, there was something else going on. We realised there was something going on and went to have a look. And there was a pilgrimage. There's an annual pilgrimage from the Notre Dame in Paris to the Notre Dame in Chartres. It's 65 miles, something like that, over 3 days. And there were 9,000 people doing it. Did you get that? 9,000 people walking a pilgrimage, which was... Whew! And they're grouped together in groups of 50 or 100. There were flags there. They were singing away. The whole time they were singing, they had hymn books with them. And they were singing in different languages. They were from all over the world. And singing and worshipping God. And there were crowds of onlookers. And you just wanted to be part of it. It was attractive. You wanted to be involved in it. And actually, I was really impressed. Twice, I was approached to tell me about Jesus. Yes. Who says things aren't happening in France? I hope I didn't disappoint them when I said, I already know him. I'm sure not. In fact, one of them gave me a rosary, which was lovely. Not sure what to do with it, but it's... No, it's special. There was something special. It was a reminder of a special connection. I would love to have been part of it. And I've been thinking about pilgrimage. It is a journey, isn't it? A commitment to God for a time, a humbling of yourself, giving him time, worshipping, listening. For 3 days, it must have been wonderful. And I do hope that they took it to the rest of their lives. And for us, from that, I think we can learn something. Because our lives are a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is walking with God. That's all it is. But giving God the time. Because we walk with God not just when we're at church or a house group or during our prayer times. We walk with God wherever we are. As you walk into your office, you walk with God. As you type out that email, you're walking with God. As you walk into your school, you're walking with God. You bring him with you. At the gym, that's the right place to put it. At the gym, as you work out, that's with God. On the golf course, at the shops, with your friends, at your friends' houses, with your family, in your neighborhood, on your street, with your next door, when you're with your next door neighbors, you're walking with God. That's the time to walk with God. But how do we do it? What does it mean? Well, I've put sort of three things that popped out. One was obedience. If we're walking with God, there's an obedience that's, you know, we need to walk God's route. We need to walk with him. We often think we know better. There are times I know when I'm doing something, I say, no, God, I've got this. And how many times does it go wrong? But virtually every time. We need to be walking with him, obedient to him. Because Adam and Eve, they were disobedient. They said, no, actually, I'm not allowed to eat from that apple, but I'm going to have a go. And it stopped the walk. So obedience is really important. And obedience means listening to God and obeying. So obedience, and then there's relationship. Relationship's important. And in this walking relationship, each one adjusts. Each one has a desire to bring unity, so we make adjustments. We change. God doesn't have to change to fit with us. We should change to be with him. But each does make a sacrifice. When I said God doesn't change to be with us, he does. Maybe we sacrifice some of our time. He sacrificed his son so that we could walk with God. His son died on the cross so that we could lose that guilt and that shame that stops us from walking with God. And in that moment of dying on that cross and through his resurrection, we can walk with God. How wonderful is that? How glorious is that? And if that's not your experience, I really urge you to think about it. Maybe come and pray afterwards. We'll talk about it and pray. Because I would love to pray that you would know walking with God and be able to accept what he's done for us, what Jesus did on that cross, that we could walk with him in it. Jesus gave himself for us, which is a complete sacrifice, the whole of himself, and he wants the whole of us, every bit of us, not the bits that we just, you know, are convenient for us, to give us completely to him, our time, our desires, our future, they're all for God. And he helps us with our ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit to help us in that walk. He fills us with his Holy Spirit to help us in that walk too. I loved looking this morning at your news sheet. Can't read it now. Question key question. Are you able to simply dwell in his presence? How does that make you feel? Can you simply dwell in his presence? That's walking with somebody. It's because you're comfortable with them. It's not that you're having to sing or to pray or to do anything. It's just, Lord, I'm here. And I'm sure that the questions are, because the challenge is to take the discipline of off seriously. It must be related to the summer holidays. All year. Right, yes. But why he chose that particular challenge right now, I don't know. Maybe not. Who knows? But actually, you know, it's this time of... We take holidays at this time of year. We, particularly those in the teaching profession and those that serve that cyclical thing, take the summer and you know, to have that with God, to walk with God in our summer holidays, it doesn't mean that we have to sing hymns the whole time, but to actually, we're with him. We're knowing his presence, even if we're not talking to him, and to be aware of that. I mean, just think about those. I think those are really good questions right now, and very apt. So anyway, I talked about obedience, I talked about relationship, and I wanted to talk about fruit as well. As we walk with God, it's a living testimony to him. It's noticed. It challenges those around us. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." People noticed it. They noticed what he was doing. They noticed his walk. Thousands of years later, it's written down by the Hebrews. So they've been talking about that for thousands of years. He inspired them, not because of who he was, but because of what he did, which is what he was. He walked with God. I think that makes sense. So as we walk with God, we demonstrate this wonderful thing that we've got. This wonderful relationship with the living God. We can show the security we've got. We can show the hope we've got, the love, the future that we've got. We can show that people know that there's something different. The Holy Spirit's indwelling in us. We're never left alone. We're being transformed into something beautiful, being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's attractive. And others can ask, what have they got? I want some of that. God is in our everyday life. And I think that's important. And that's how we work very hard to get people to come into church. But quite often it doesn't make any difference. But when people see God moving in your life, in your everyday life, that's what's challenging. That's what's attractive. That's what people want. Because the thought of coming to church every Sunday is not very attractive. But the thought of living a life with him is, with the living God, the Creator God. Sorry, I'm not putting down church. It's important. We are called to go to church. We are called, yes. And I love it. But in the world, it doesn't sound attractive. That's what I'm trying to say. Any questions, go to Carl. So there's fruit in our walk with God as well. Finally, I just want to say that we are called to walk. As Christians, we are called to walk with Jesus. And in John 8:12, it says, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." As we walk with him, we're not walking in darkness. We're walking in the light of life. We're walking with the light of the world. Wow. We're safe from darkness. I love the storms, in those times of storms, we're walking with the light. And there's that calm. Be still. Wow. So as I came in here this morning, I was thinking, as we were driving across, I was thinking, well, what are you really like? Carl tells us what the church is like, but us ministers, when we get together, we embellish facts and we drop things off. And what am I saying? ask Carl all about it. But I was thinking, well, what's different about you? What are you? Because no church is the same. You know, are you a church that's got great worship songs? Are you a church that's got a wonderful worship group? Have you got are you a church where the coffee's fabulous? Are you one that, you know, with good parking facilities? Or are you one that's, you know, there's all sorts of ways that people judge churches. I'm not knocking anything that's going on. I'm getting myself into trouble. What's different about Countess Free Church? And I want that difference to be that they walk with God. How many churches could say that? I don't know. But to walk with God, to be known as people that walk with God, and to do it together. Because that's why we come together on a Sunday. We learn together to walk with God. We learn together, we encourage one another. Some of us are role models for others. Maybe we start having challenges and they can talk it through. They can pray it through. And it goes beyond that. Out in the world, you know, it doesn't stop. Countess Free Church doesn't stop at the door. Because as you go out in the world, you're walking together with God. And you can encourage one another to do that. I think it's really important that you get that as a church. And yes, Countess Free Church, they walk with God. Let's leave it at that. We're about to take communion. It's a chance to, as a reflection, to think about walking with God, being with God. So we're going to sing a couple of songs first to think about, to put us in the mind for taking communion together, and then we will take communion.